thanks that you're not a God that only hangs out with mature, wise adults like some of us. But you're a God who loves everyone, eh? So cool. Just pray a blessing on Anna. Pray a blessing on the team that she's got up there this morning. Just that it's not just a cool fun time, eh? But they're really able to communicate, teach some really cool truths about you, about your love for those crazy kids, eh? Give them wisdom, God, eh? Thanks for those people being keen to serve you, eh? I know some of us, that would be nightmare. So we're excited for them, God. Bless those cool teachers, eh? Pray for Luke and Sarah, eh? And Stomp, all the other different parts of that children's ministry this morning. Just bless them, eh, as they serve you. Pray that they receive real blessing too as they sacrifice time, energy, resources to serve you. It'd be cool. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Morana, hey, how are you all doing? You're good? Yeah. So good. Shot mic. Good nodding. This is the last in our series of Make It Space, eh? I've really enjoyed this series, eh? I hope you've enjoyed it. So next Sunday we start a whole new series, and it's like the Christmas series, which is pretty cool. So Dave and I, who's like a giant Christmas nerd? Many people? Yeah, so I have to work with Dave, and he's like the biggest Christmas nerd on the planet. Every time I mention Christmas upstairs, he's running around like a maniac. It worries me a lot. So we're starting a whole new series that we're calling A Thrill of Hope, right? A Thrill of Hope. What carol is that from? Oh, Holy Night. So what we're doing is, doing the four sermons in December are going to be from that theme, from Oh Holy Night, from that line. So it talks about a weary world, but the answer to that weary world is a thrill of hope, right? Jesus, that makes sense. You with me? Yeah, shot team. And so what Dave and I are going to do is just unpack some of the normal kind of Christmas stories, the announcement to Mary and the shepherds and all that cool stuff. But as we do it, we want to look at the weariness that you see in those stories. There's some real big things happening in those stories. And we want to connect that to the weariness that we see in our world. Because, like, honestly, who looks at our planet at the moment and just goes, oh, man, this is a weary planet, man. Anyone with me? Hey, it's just crazy. I'm like, I read a lot of international papers, I'm a bit of a like nerd like that. And just the stuff going on in the world is crazy. It's just ridiculous. So a weary world, that's what we're going to be talking about. But that answer, that a thrill of hope, through Jesus is the only answer, right? All good. Hey, so this is our last one in this kind of Make It Space, Make Space series. And this one's on generosity. All the talks have been on generosity, but this one really focusing in on generosity. So I found it interesting when I was researching this week, there was a study done by Harvard Business School. We all know Harvard, eh? It's got a really cool name over in the States a few years ago. And a professor, Norton, led a big study. They interviewed 800 people, 800 adults, and they asked them about their income, and then they asked them about their expenses and how they were spending. And what they were trying to do is find out if there's a correlation between the amount of money you get and how happy you are, right? How joyful, how fulfilled you are on the planet, right? It's not rocket science. And the crazy thing, they found out that there was a direct correlation, not so much between the income, but between how much you gave away. And they said that in all their research, they found very, very clearly it was almost irrelevant how much people were earning. What made the change in their life and their levels of joy, happiness, fulfillment, blessing, all that stuff, was purely how much you give away. And one of the things they said in the report was that you could have someone on $20,000 a year and someone on, I was like, whoa, that's not a lot of money. Someone on $20,000 a year, and you could have someone on $40,000 a year, but if the $20,000 a year person is being generous with the small resources that they have, guaranteed, according to this report, they would be more happy, right? More fulfilled, more joyous. It's almost irrelevant how much you've got coming in. It's all how generous you are, right? And us Christian nerds, hands up, who's a Christian nerd in here? A few of you? Some of you are not. So afterwards, come and talk to me. I'll tell you about Jesus. I'm looking at you, Ruth. But Jesus knew this, right? So look at this verse, right? Acts 20. If you've got your Bible, jump over there, eh? Acts 20. This is a pretty classic verse. Like heaps of you will know this. Where are we going? Acts 20, verse 35. Paul's speaking. Luke's the writer of Acts, but he's quoting Paul here. And Paul says, I've been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than receive, right? It's more blessed to give than to receive. And all of us, I think, that are are older than, I don't know, really little, are like, yeah, that's so true, right? It's so true. One of the things I love most about Christmas is not getting presents, because often you get weird presents at Christmas, right? No offense, Whanau. But the thing that brings me the most joy is literally the giving of those presents and seeing other people open them. And sometimes it's almost like you get more blessing and more joy in giving the Christmas present than even the person who receives it. Does it make sense, eh? And this is what that study was saying. This is what Jesus is saying. So the sermon today is literally just called this, eh? More blessed, right? More blessed, pretty simple. Okay, so it's time for you guys to grab a friend, do a bit of thinking. So got some... couple of questions up here, so have a bit of a chat. When was a time someone gave you what you needed most? So have a bit of a think, and if you can be a bit more deep, rather than just like, oh yeah, the other day someone gave me a slice of pizza, try and think more seriously, like when was a time in your life that you were like, man, I got a need right now, and I need someone to show up because I am in trouble, and then someone came and blessed you, and you were like, what the heck? So turn to a neighbour and share a little bit about that. If you know them well, if you don't know them, just stay there because the second question's a little bit funky. But if you know them well enough, do you see any way how you could be that person to someone else who needs help now? Does it make sense? So that's kind of like, oh, so if you don't know them, just ignore that because it's a bit scary. So grab a friend, eh? Let's have a chat for a minute or so and then we'll move on. Cool, cool. Okay, whakaronga mai, listen back this way. When was the time someone gave you what you needed most? I'm sure if we're honest, a lot of us, if we took time to think, we'd be like, wow, there's so many times when someone's really blessed me, eh? So many times when we were in need and someone came and just really looked after us, eh? One of the biggest ones that jumped into my head this week when I was thinking about it was, as I've said, Jason and I lived in America studying for a bunch of years and we were crazy poor. And we had the most useless car you've ever seen. Like some of you are like, bro, you haven't seen my car. I'm like, nah, I'll fight you on this one. Our car was just rubbish. The brakes really didn't work much at all. And it was just useless car. But we needed it to get to our ministry and all this kind of stuff. And when we sold it, by the way, because the brakes were so useless, the person we sold it to, who was another student at the university, tried to sue us, which was really exciting to be in New Zealand and have that whole suing thing. When we got the letter from him, we just about like lost our minds. It was kind of terrifying. Oh, I just need a minute. No, I'm joking. And we were moving from Chicago out to Denver to keep studying out in Denver, and we were just really worried about taking this complete piece of rubbish. I mean, it was a great car. We loved it, but it was just useless. All the way out to Denver, and a professor and his wife, who we'd been really good friends with over the 4 years that we were in Chicago, met up with us before we left and said, hey, we just really want to bless you guys and sell you one of our cars for dirt cheap. Like, they could have sold it for 10 times more than what they sold it to us for. And we were just like, are you serious? And it was a really, really nice car, really nice. And we were just like, are you guys serious? And they're like, yeah, we just really want to kind of invest in what you guys are doing. We know you're studying to go back to New Zealand and hopefully do something cool. And we were like blown away, man. It was just incredible. And I think that's one of the key things to remember is that when we're generous with something big, something small, often it just changes someone's life. It literally changes someone's life, right? Does it make sense, eh? Does it make sense? And I'm sure when you guys were talking just now, there'd be there would have been heaps of times when heaps of things that you talk to someone about that they would have been like, wow, that is incredible. Just that little generosity. The funniest generosity I can ever remember is I used to pastor a church in Cambridge, and there was an old farmer in there. Anyone know an old farmer? Yeah. And you guys, more response, eh? More response. Mike, old farmer? Yeah, good. And so, old farmer, and they always have like crazy hands, and their handshake just crushes you, amen? In Jesus' name, they just, and you're just like, nah! And there was an old farmer in the church, and he used to occasionally come and do the old secret $20 handshake, if you've anyone experienced that. And the first time he did it, I had no idea what was going on, and I'm just there, you know, saying g'day, and he comes in, and I shake his hand, and I was like, I can feel something really weird in my hand. I didn't say that, and I was like, what's going on? And then he, good to see you, Craig. And I'm like, oh, thanks, man. And I was like, oh, thanks so much. And he's like, oh, yeah, no. And it was meant to be like real secretive. I didn't kind of click. And so then a few months later, shakes my hand again, and I'm like, yeah, baby, another secret $20 handshake. Occasionally he'd shake my hand, and I'm like, man, there's nothing in there. What a waste of time. Nah, not at all. It was cool, though. So many of us, if we stop and think, and I did this week, and it actually was a little bit emotional for me. Eh? If we stop and think about where we are now, we have to admit that we're where we are now because of the generosity of other people, right? We're where we are now because of the generosity of other people. It might have been our parents. Parents might have been useless. I don't know. They might have been amazing. It might have been a school teacher. Might have been a really good friend, an older friend that kind of took us under their wing. It could have been a business person in one of our jobs that just really took us and kind of coached us into it. And again, that generosity just changes lives, right? It really does change our lives. Okay, hey, so one of the things I'm thinking about is this whole generosity, and this is the first little point here. Generosity transforms and grows me, right? Generosity transforms and it really does grow me. It really changes me. And one of the key things that we see when we look at the Bible is that God really doesn't care what we give or how much we give of our time, possessions, money. He doesn't care about that. It's what is the attitude, right? What is the heart that is behind that giving? And God's whole desire is not that we learn to just give more stuff and spend more time serving or whatever. God's whole desire is that our heart is more transformed to be a more and more generous heart, right? Let's look at a few verses here. So here's the first one. I'm going to go over to Ephesians 5, yeah? So jump over to Ephesians 5. It's so awkward juggling microphones and Bibles, I have to say, but I've got great skills, so we're all good. Okay, Ephesians 5, and I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. It says, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children." I love that, eh? So the first thing from these verses is that one of the clear things that we read again and again in the Bible is that God calls us to imitate him, right? To imitate God, to live a life that looks like Christ, right? Pretty clear. So imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. And then one of the questions would be like, well, what does that look like, right? What does it look like to imitate God? And I think if I ask most of you, what is the number one character of God that comes to mind when you think of God? Most people would just straight away say love. It's just love. God is love. That's the core thing that we think of when we think of God, right? And one of the things that you think about, if I want to imitate God, I want to therefore imitate his love. And then the big question I then straight away have is, what does that look like to love? How would that look like in my life if I'm trying to imitate God through love? And Paul carries on and explains that. So verse 2, he says, live a life filled with love. And we're like, cool, we'll get that because I want to imitate God, and a core trait of who God is love. So live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. And now he explains it real clearly. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. That last bit's the real important bit. Following the example of Christ, he loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. One of the things that we see in the Bible really clearly is that whenever God talks about love, he also always talks about being a God of action. Does that make sense, eh? God doesn't just talk about love and say, yeah, I'm loving, be loving, be loving. It's always tied into action, right? So we see the first part, whoa, it's already gone. Go back. Whoosh, ah, is the imitate God. And so the question is, how do I imitate God? And the answer is simply, I imitate God by being someone who lives a life of love. What does that mean? What does that look like? I imitate God by living a life of love. That is a life of giving, right? A life of generosity, yeah? And now in this verse, you already saw because I was failing in my secretness. John 3:16, right? The most classic verse that that we know. For this is how God showed loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And you see this real clear, he loved so he did something really clearly in there. Look at it again, eh? For this is how God loved the world. Oh, how did he love the world? What does it look like to love, right? He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. I just love that. I find this real challenging, right, for us. It's easy to talk about God and be like, yeah, I want to be like God, I want to be like Jesus, blah, blah, blah. But then when you read verses like that one in Ephesians and you read a verse like this and you kind of stop and pause, it's like, man, when God loves, he gives massive. Does it make sense, eh? When God loves, he gives massive, right? Think about it like this. It's like God is... When we talk about God theologically, we talk about God as independent, right? He's independent. That means he has no needs. He is self-sustaining, right? He doesn't need anything external. There's nothing external he needs. But the one thing that he really, really, really loves is the Trinity, within the Trinity. There's nothing external he needs, right? He doesn't need our worship. He doesn't need anything we do. He is self-sustaining. He's independent of anything external. But the one thing he has that he just so loves, doesn't need but loves, is that community within the Trinity. So when God comes to us and says, I want you to understand how much I love you, how much I care for you. He sacrifices the only thing that's of real importance to him. Does it make sense, eh? Because there's nothing external that he needs. He doesn't need that stuff. So to sacrifice that is like, well, you didn't really sacrifice anything you needed, so whoop-de-doo. So God says to us, hey, I'm going to sacrifice to prove to you how much I love you the one thing that is so important to me, that is so special to me. And that is me. That's the Trinity, right? That's part of me, the second person of the Trinity. And I just find that really challenging. Because when we're talking about this whole Make It Space series, and it's like, yeah, I need to make space in my time. And it's like, yeah, but in doing that, I want to replicate, I want to imitate the generosity of God. And God doesn't say, oh, you can just write out a nice check to church and then go and mow your lawns and do whatever. That's not what God talks about when he says, imitate me. He says, if you really want to imitate me, it's a sacrificial giving of yourself. And it's kind of like, oh, really? Man, I go to church to just sing cool songs, not to have crazy sermons about sacrifice and stuff. But to me, that's what we see in here, eh? I just wanted to intentionally kind of step aside for a second and go, man, I know some people are just in hard seasons, right? Some people are in hard seasons, and the last thing you need to come to church and some clown's at the front talking about giving and being generous and sacrificing. And you're like, bro, if you knew what was going on in my life, you would not be saying that. So one of the things I just wanted to kind of step aside and pause and say is look back at the verse and read that first bit. For this is how God loved the world. God really does love you, eh? He really, really does. It's hard to understand how a divine being who is very other actually loves us. And so God sent Jesus into the world as a human to die in your place, to bring you into a relationship with God the Father. And so God is just really desperate, and I use that word really intentionally, desperate for you to understand. He just loves you like crazy. So if you're in a hard season at the moment, forget the giving, forget the generosity at the moment. I just really need you to hear that God loves you, eh? And he would love to be more and more and more a part of your life, yeah? Because there's some hard seasons on this planet, real hard seasons. Okay. This is the kind of core of it, right? God is a giver, so living generously is God's way, right? Living generously is God's way. God gives us everything we have, as Dave said a few weeks ago when he preached on this. And I think as a consumeristic, materialistic person living in Aotearoa, it's real easy for me to forget that and think, no. Everything I have is because I am the man and I have a good job and I work hard and I blah, 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 blah. And it's like, no, it's not that at all. Everything I have, everything you have is because of God. Because God has given it to you, your whānau, your health, your ability to work, your ability to blah, blah, blah. It's all from God, right? So everything we have is his, and he asks us to replicate his generosity with that. This is a quote from something I was reading this week. I just love this. It's talking about God's generosity. He is a notorious, unstoppable, insatiable giver. And if we're going to follow his example, generosity has to be the driving force in our hearts and actions. The truth is that we're never more like God than when we love and when we give. Those are hallmarks of our God and all those that choose to really follow him. I love this statement. I love that middle bit. The truth is that we're never more like God than when we love and when we give. And like I was saying before, we're called by God to imitate him, to replicate. So that's what we need to do. Hey, let's look at these cool verses from Timothy. I chucked these on the screen. 1 Timothy 6 says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. There's more verse coming, but I just love this verse. And one of the things I love about it is that right at the beginning, tell them not to trust their money, which is so unreliable. And you remember that crazy verse from Ecclesiastes I preached on a couple of Sundays ago that says when people are trying to find their joy, their fulfillment, their hope or whatever for life and money, it's like chasing after the wind. It's like that verse just keeps coming back to me as I kind of race around in my groovy life. And it's just like, oh, it's such a sad thing that so many people in our society really are caught into a chasing after the wind. They really do believe that if they can just get that better whatever, that shinier, that newer, that better blah, then they will be more happy, they will be more fulfilled. But Ecclesiastes is chasing after the wind. You get it, and then you're like, oh, it didn't really bring me happiness. Oh, but if I, and it just keeps going. And that's the same thing he's saying here about money. Not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. I just found that funny. I was thinking about it this week, and I was like, man, how many times, and maybe it's just me, so feel free to laugh and judge. How many times do you think you got a box of cash in the bank, and then you check your balance, and you're like, what the heck just happened? Where'd all the money? Anyone else? Is it just me? There's a few honest people. Okay. Man, I don't know how often that just blows me away. So money is unreliable. I'm not putting my faith in our bank account because it's hilarious. Here's the next two verses, verses 18 and 19. I love this. It's real practical. They should be rich. Excuse me. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they'll be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. This verse gets me kind of crazy excited. So there's a practical bit and then a crazy bit. So let me unpack it a little bit. Paul is often a list guy, right? Have you noticed that? Paul often just puts lists together. He's quite a crazy Eastern thinker where he can be all over the place, but at other times he's just like, and he does that in this one, and it's kind of like, yeah, I want to be generous. I want to use my money well. How? And he gives three things in the first part of this verse. If we want to be generous, we should be rich in good works, generous to those in need, and always being ready to share with others. And I was like, man, that is a really cool little threesome to kind of think and chew over a little bit, right? So let me unpack it a bit. The first one says we should be rich in good works. Now, remember, he's talking to people with money, is where he started. But his first practical thing has nothing to do with money. Did you see that, eh? I found that really interesting. His first thing is not, so therefore give lots of money away. His first thing is to be rich in good works. It's real easy sometimes to write out a check. Real easy. Real easy to be like, yeah, so-and-so needs some money. Here's, you know, the secret $20 handshake or whatever. It's real different to give of ourselves and give of our time, right? That makes sense, eh? So the first thing he says, we should be rich in good works. We should be rich in serving and helping other people and blessing God through our service in the church. And then the second thing is be generous to those in need. There are heaps of people in our society, heaps of people in our circles that really, really do need us to be speaking into their life, right? To be blessing them financially, but often it's more by getting involved in their life, right? And there's some cool things we want to do as a church next year, which I'll talk about later, that fits right there. And then the last one is always being ready to share with others. And I was like, man, if I want to be living a life where I'm ready to share with others, then I have to be kind of putting some stuff aside and I need to have margin in my life. Or, as the title of the series is, I need to make space in my life. Because otherwise I'm going to see a need and I'm going to be like, oh, I'd love to help, but I've got so much going on, I'm so busy, I can't. Or I'd love to help, but finances are so tight. Does it make sense, eh? You see those three? I love that little list. And then the second half of the verse is the part that gets me crazy excited. He says, by doing this, so by doing those three things I listed, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. This is a pretty crazy little phrase here. Storing up their treasure as a good foundation. So let me explain this. If this confuses you or something, come and talk to me afterwards, but to me it's pretty clear. So what Paul's literally saying here is that the way you live this life is directly going to impact the future life that you have in the new heavens and the new earth. Does it make sense? Right? So we read verses like this all the time, and I think we just skim over them and forget them. And so this one is so clear and blunt. And so what Paul is saying is literally the way we use our time and our resources now literally directly impacts the quality of life that we are going to have in the new heavens and the new earth. Right? That's what he's saying. Look at it. By doing this, they'll be storing up treasure as a good foundation for the future. And the way he's written it, just so you know, nerding out for a minute, the way he's written in the Greek, he's not meaning now. He's meaning the future new heavens and the new earth, right? And we can get carried away. And I just find that so interesting. And I just kept thinking about it this week, and I kept thinking how dumb I am at times where I'm so focused on making sure everything's good and awesome and wonderful and comfortable for me for 70 or 80 years when that is directly impacting my eternal future, which is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So if you're not dumb, you logically straight away go, whoa, I want to be someone whose life is generous, who blesses other people, because that's imitating God, but because I'm not dumb and I want to be investing for my future in the new heavens and the new earth. Does it make sense, eh? I just found that like really, really interesting to chew on. And then the next part's real funny. He says, so they may experience true life. And this is in the Greek, this is this really weird phrase. It means like they may experience life. It's like life, like really good, amazing, overflowing, whoa kind of life. And the way he's written it there, he's meaning in this life and the life to come. So again, if I'm a smart person, if I'm dumb, I just go, oh, this is it. I'm just going to invest everything now, make sure we have got the bigger house, the faster car, the better shoes. But if I'm not dumb, one, I'm going to use my resources carefully, my time, I'm going to be generous, because I'm a little bit selfish, because I want to bless, but I'm also investing in my future, right? It's one thing. And then the second thing is, man, because I want to have an awesome life here and in the life to come. And it's where I started, right? That study from Harvard showed it, that verse we read in Acts showed it. We are more blessed when we give than when we receive. So it's not rocket science. If I want to have a more full, joyous, happy, exciting life now and in the life to come, I want to be someone who reflects God, imitates God. And one of the key ways to do that is to be loving, is to be generous. I just love this verse. I've kept going back to this verse a bunch this week because I was like, man, this is just cool, right? This is cool. One of the things I wrote down was this. God uses a lifestyle of generosity to break the hold and pull of money and things off our lives. It helps us to escape the gravitational pull of always wanting more and frees us to enjoy lives to the fullest. And what I'm meaning in that is sometimes we get so caught up into the better, the shinier, the better, that the only way God can kind of really change our thinking is to be like, no, I need to be more generous. I need to invest more of my time, not in that, but in giving and blessing others. And it, like I said before, it really, really changes me. It changes my heart, right? Cool verses. I love those verses. Okay, so not only does living a generous life transform me and shape me, but here's the next one. It blesses and refreshes me, right? It blesses and refreshes me. And I was thinking there's a lot of practical ways that we can be generous. And I thought, oh, I'll just chuck two up real quick. But there's like, I don't know, as many ways as there are people in the room, right? There's so many ways we can be generous. But here's the first one. It's pretty obvious. Hey, give of your talents. Pretty simple way. There's heaps of ways that we can serve God by using our time. Like I said before, sometimes it's real easy to just write out a check and it doesn't impact me at all, right? And often God's like, yeah, that's cool, but also serving and using the gifts and the talents that we've got, right? And I was thinking about this week, and I said to Anna, I was going to say that Carolyn's away. They had to visit family, and Anna's upstairs, so I can talk about them as much as I want, so I won't get into too much trouble until they listen to the podcast. So, and I was thinking about them this week, and I was like, man, how blessed are our children that they have Carolyn and Anna watching over them on Sunday mornings, right? I know there's a whole team of volunteers and stuff, but those two are the ones that are really leading it this year. And they put in, I met them for coffee a couple of weeks ago, they put in crazy hours during the week to prepare and resource and get everything going and scheduling. And I was like, man, how blessed are we as a church? How blessed are those crazy little kids that are blasting around up there like nutters? That they have these two ladies that are sacrificing, they really are, time, energy, resources to bless and speak truth and love and grace into the lives of those kids. Does that make sense, eh? And I was like, man, that's wild. And I'm very weird. Well, I think I'm weird. And so this is where my brain went. I thought, man, wouldn't it be wild if you could look into the brains of those kids, which don't do that because you'll get arrested and end up in jail for a long time. But if you could look into the brains of those kids and see where they were at the beginning of the year and how much they've learned about God in their crazy little 5-year-old, 7-year-old, whatever way, how much they've learned about God and that there is a God who really loves them and cares for them. That they've really learned that they are enough, right? That they have learned about the armor of God, all this cool stuff. If you looked at it, it'd be like, man, that's pretty cool. And then you replicated it with all the piles of kids up there. It's like, man, that's a pretty cool investment, a pretty cool sacrifice of Carolyn and Anna. Does that make sense, eh? Yeah. Now, the weird part was I thought, if you didn't, well, the weird part was actually looking at their brains, but whatever. I was like, man, if Carolyn and Anna, and I'm not, this is not guilt tripping anyone, so if you feel guilt trip, that's you, that's not my deal. It's like, imagine if Carolyn and Anna, earlier on in the year, I think it was they took over doing it in the second term, had just gone, nah, too much on, too busy, no time, can't do it. And no one else, there's heaps of other volunteers that help, I know. And every other volunteer would be like, nah, too busy, too much on, can't do it, can't help. I was thinking, man, then you look at the lives of those kids, and a whole bunch of kids this year would not have heard. They would have from their parents, but it's different on Sunday. They would not have heard that God loves them. They would not have heard that they are enough. They would not have heard, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, man, that's really interesting. And 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is talking about that the Holy Spirit gives gifts to everyone. And he says the gift is given to each one of us. So every one of us has a gift, right? If this is your community, this is your whānau, you have a gift, right? That's just how God goes. But then he says the Holy Spirit gives a gift to each one of us for the betterment or for the improvement or for the blessing of others. And it's not for us, right? So the gift that we have is not for us. It is literally for serving and blessing others, which is like the whole point in it. So the first thing is that we can use these gifts to bless others, right? Part of our generosity is giving our talents. And here's the second one, which is pretty easy. Give of your riches, right? Pretty easy. Give of your riches. I had so many stories of Joseph in my life where people have blessed us financially. It's just crazy, eh? So many different times when we've been in real scary finances or just scary hard times and someone has come and blessed us financially. And there was a big time where Joseph was real sick for ages and we had secret people bringing us meals. Don't even know who they were, just people from the church. You'd hear a knock on the door and then a car go accelerating off down the driveway, literally. And I'd get out there and the car's already gone and there's just this amazing meal. There was a couple that bought us, it was like Tuesday night, bought us like a corned beef. How good's corned beef? Meal with mustard sauce and mashed potatoes and peas. Thank you, Jesus. Like every Tuesday or something for a whole year while Joseph's really sick. I'm like, now that costs some money. They didn't like, you know, jump over someone's fence and steal it. That's their money. They were sacrificing to bless us. It's just wild, eh? Will's going to come in a little while. I just got one more verse or a couple of verses I want to talk about, but Will's going to come in a while and talk more about this whole pledge thing, this whole pledge Sunday. And if you were here on the call night, we talked a bit about the next 6 months. We want to do a lot of consolidation over the next 6 months. But then once we feel like the church is in a real healthy place, there's so many cool ministries that people in the church have come already to me and said, hey, we want to be doing this. Here's a cool way we could bless us in here or we can bless the community. But every one of them, it's like, oh, okay, we're going to need some money to do that somehow. So one of the ways that we can live this life of generosity, imitating God, is using our gifts and our talents, and that's awesome. Another way, pretty simple, is to give of our riches, right? And let me just read a couple of verses and I'll finish. This next verse is just crazy. I love it how you know you've read the verse before, but you don't remember it. And then you read it and you're like, what the heck? I love this verse. So this is 2 Corinthians 9, 12 to 13. Paul's speaking and he says, so two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you're obedient to the good news of Christ. I just love this verse. I love the practicality in it. So let me kind of just unpack it. Just two real simple things. The first one, he says, the needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met. So when Paul wrote this, he's traveling around Asia Minor, and this is to the church in Corinth, and he's saying he's going to come and take a gift from them, a financial gift, and take it back to Jerusalem because there's this terrible famine going through the whole place, especially in Jerusalem is just devastated, decimated, whatever, and he's taking a gift back. And I love the first thing. It's like the needs of people will be met. And I was like, when you consider Pledge Sunday, when you're considering how you can give, it's like you're literally meeting the needs of people, which is just awesome, right? But I love the next bit, and I kind of nerded out on this a little bit this week. They will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. And I just kept thinking of Karen and Anna this week. And I was thinking, man, how honoured are they that there's some of us giving glory to God because they're blessing kids up there. How awesome is it that there's little kids up there that as they grow and understand more and more about the investment that Carolyn and Anna are having in their life, that they will literally be thanking God, the creator of the universe, the one who created everything. Little kids saying, man, thanks God for Carolyn and Anna and their service to me. That there'll be little kids now and way in the future, because heaps of us can remember back. I can't remember anything I learned in Sunday school because I was an idiot. But I can remember some really legit teachers that really just blessed into my life. And now I literally give glory to God and say, man, thanks for that crazy, I won't say their name, there's one guy I can remember, his first name was Bruce. I'm like, man, Bruce was the man. No idea what he talks. I say, was he being an idiot? Well, he just cared for me. And I'm like, so now I give glory to God. And I'm like, man, I don't think there's much bigger honor that you can have than someone is glorifying God because of something you've done, whether it's financial, whether it's using your gifts, your abilities. I'm like, man, pretty cool. It's a cool verse, eh? Cool verse? Shot, Dave. Loving the feedback, bro. You're amazing. And here's the last one, last verse. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will be refreshed. I love this. Does the worship team, do you guys want to bounce back up? That'd be cool. I just love this verse. I want to say this last bit really, really carefully, right? There's seasons of life that are just hard, right? And some, if you're in a hard season where you're like, bro, we are like not even holding on by fingernails anymore. You know, it's that whole, when you get to the end of the rope, hold on. It's like, we have let go of the rope because things are like hitting the fan everywhere. There's seasons. And so if that's where you're at, just listen to this next bit really, really carefully because I don't want you to feel pressured, right? But one of the things, if this verse is true, which last time I checked it is because it's the Bible, that last bit says, those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And what he's talking about is those who bless others will themselves be blessed. So I say this super, super carefully, right? If you're in a place where the last word you would use to describe yourself is refreshed or blessed, then I just want to say it's maybe because you're not blessing or refreshing anyone else in some way. Is that okay, eh? If you think back all the stuff I've been talking about this morning, there's a real, that study, that Acts verses, other verses, is a very strong thread that the way I live my life of generosity, that is directly, directly connected with the blessing, the joy, the fulfillment that I am going to receive in this life. And so looking at this verse, I'm just saying, man, if that's where you are, if you're just fried, then I'd question, are you still chasing after the wind with possessions and a better house and a better job and a better this? We need to be busy. We need to blah, blah, blah. When God's just calling to you and saying, no, slow down, man. I need you to make space in your life, right? I want you to reflect me and live a life of love and a life of generosity and sacrifice and all this crazy stuff that is easy to preach about but really hard to do, right? It's easy to sit in church and be like, yeah, it's sacrifice, woo! But then you pull out your wallet and you're like, maybe not so much. Or you see someone in need and you're like, maybe not so much. Or someone says, hey, we need you to help in this ministry. And you're like, not so much, right? Yeah, we want to be a people that reflect the generosity of God, eh? I think that's our core. That's why we're here. We're not here on a Sunday morning so that someone's like, whoa, you're so spiritual coming to church. We're here because we love Jesus and want to be more like him, eh? Hey, let me pray. You almighty God, I don't know, it is easy to sit here and be like, yeah, good, reflect, yeah, imitate God. But when it really comes down to what that looks like in our life, it's like, oh man, I need to step back and evaluate where I'm at really carefully. We really long to be a church that is generous with the gifts that you have given us from your Spirit. We want to be a church that's really generous with our finances, with our possessions, because we know they're from you. Everything we have is from you, God. Just as Will's going to come and talk and as we move into these songs that are coming up, we just really want to pause and just reflect on this whole desire to make space for you in our lives, to fight against the chasing after the wind. The more is better, the more will make me happier. And to reflect on what does it really look like for me to imitate you, God? What does it look like for me as a follower of Jesus Christ to imitate the sacrifice of Christ like we read about in Ephesians, God? Yeah, so just speak to us, eh? We want to be wise. We don't want to make stupid pledges and stupid things that haven't come from a heart of worship, a heart of obedience to you. So speak to us clearly. Yeah, pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.